360 The Quest. Your Atlantic Catholic Radio presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in a journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning. I hope everybody is having a beautiful morning and is awake and grateful for this new day we've been given.
It is a better day because you are in it. And I am so grateful to be joined by this dream team of Catholic superstars, Allison DeLule and Alessandra.
Yeah, who?
And you, of course, listening, making this so much better. Allison, there's only one way it could get even better, and that's with a little bit of prayer. Can you open us with a prayer?
I would love to. And you know, I did research. I was trying to find a prayer on strength to trust in the unknown, because I know a lot of us have things going on in our lives. We have no idea where the Lord is calling us. So let's start with the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
God of hope, as I reflect on the mystery of the incarnation, we remember that Mary trusted you despite not understanding everything that was to come. Just as she trusted, help us to trust you in the unknowns of our life. Give us courage to move forward, knowing that your plans are greater than we can ever imagine. May we walk in faith and trust just as the Holy Family did. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
What a gift.
Amen. It really is. Because who knows? We have no idea sometimes. We just go through life saying, Lord, we trust you. And things don't go the way we want them all the time. But we just have to stay the course and trust he knows his plan for us.
Speak for yourself.
Sorry, Josh.
My faith journey is on a yellow brick road and I have no problems.
Look at you.
Boy, I don't want to hear that testimony. I don't believe that for one second. No, thank you for keeping it real, Allison. What a gift.
Amen.
And it's all about trust, isn't it? I think about that all the time. I might be in a season of life and look back reflectively. And at the moment, it's just like, I'm not in the right place, God. Are you sleeping at the wheel? But there's that phrase I've heard, if Jesus is my co-pilot, I'm in the wrong seat.
Amen to that. He needs to be in the driver's seat.
Yeah, and sometimes he takes the scenic route to the destination, and I don't always like that. You know, I think that I've got better GPS coordinates, but it's only looking reflectively we see that he knows exactly what he was doing. And often those struggles, those hardships, those sufferings, when we unite them to Christ, I'm not gonna say often, I'm gonna say always, mm-hmm. build character and actualize God's grand purpose in our life, make it crystal clear.
And I always think of the tapestry. I know I brought it up on the show before. Mm-hmm. When you look at a tapestry, it looks beautiful on the front, but when you flip it over, mm-hmm. it looks like a mess, you know, thread everywhere. So again, the way the Lord works is his way. We just have to say, yes, Lord, whatever you want, let it be.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so interesting how something might happen in my life and I'll bump into somebody years later and they might say, oh, this thing you said or did had an impact on me. And you just never know how God is using you as a living witness. Again, mm-hmm. myself and all of us, very imperfect, but yeah, God turns those messes into messages, and it's a big gift.
Amen. It sure is. So any big plans for the weekend?
Do I have big plans? Well, I think I'm actually going to do some stand-up. Well, tonight, actually, I'm going to spend the night with a few friends at the homeless shelter, Basher Homeless Shelter.
Yes.
Yeah, it's because I'm late on rent, so no, I'm just kidding. It's a bad joke.
I got that one.
Yeah, you got it. So it is such a gift to be there, and what happens is you go there to try to spread God's grace, and then they actually mm-hmm. just light your heart up and share all these spiritual treasures with you, and you know, just realize how grateful you should be for the life God has given you. But it's a great gift. I highly recommend it. We spend the night there. We help, you know, bring them dinner and fellowship with them and make them breakfast the next day, or little like bags to go. And it's such a gift, and it is really a crash course in gratitude. It's awesome.
I used to volunteer at the soup kitchen at, I think it's the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. I would do that on a regular basis. And again, like you said, Josh, we're going to serve, right? To think that we mm-hmm. are going to brighten their day. And they absolutely transform our hearts with just what they're going through, right? I mean,
absolutely,
some of them have mental, you know, and stability and just being there and just seeing their gratefulness for what we give them and how we serve them.
Mm-hmm. And I always think when you're in those kinds of situations, if you can bring an article or element of faith that can be given away, that's huge. So mm-hmm. I have these Litany of Trust prayer cards that I've ordered from the Sisters of Life. You can get like 500 of them for $75 or something. Totally worth it. Supports an amazing cause. They are pivotal in pro-life work. In fact, one person that we helped choose life, I think they helped create like a safe house for them or led them to a safe house. Yeah. They were in an abusive situation with someone who I think was actually trying to force them to have an abortion. Mm. Anyway, great cause. Check that out. I think sistersoflife.org maybe, or just Google it. But I bring these prayer cards. It's the Litany of Trust. It's all about trusting Jesus. So rather than just talking about God's goodness, you can actually give them something to pray and take away with. And that's not just at a homeless shelter, by the way. That's, you know, that's just great to have that on deck wherever, whenever you're having a conversation and the Spirit prompts you.
And I say actually praying that as well, you know, definitely share them with others, but definitely take that prayer on yourself because it's a powerful prayer.
Yeah. And it really speaks to the human condition about trusting God in all circumstances.
Amen. Well, we've got a good show coming up today. So we are going to be reflecting on the gospel with your one and only Josh and Allison. So.
Oh, wait, what? You didn't tell me that.
Whatever, Josh.
I'm about to.
I know. So that's going to be fun, reflecting on Sunday's gospel for this week. And then Chuck Persner is going to be back with us today talking about St. Nicholas. Today is his feast day, so can't wait to learn more about him. Kathleen Lindemann from St. Michael the Archangel Catholic Church, she is going to be talking to us about more ways that we can celebrate Advent with our family. And then coming up next, Tony Uceda-Velez, founder of VerseBright and parishioner at All Saints in Dunwoody, will be talking to us about security measures we can take with our phone calls and our text messaging.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
We are so happy to have Tony Uceda-Velez, founder of VerseBright, on with us today. Again, he's a parishioner at All Saints in Dunwoody, and he's going to be talking to us about security measures and phone calls and everything with text messages. So welcome to The Quest, Tony.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be back.
Oh, we are so happy. You know, because Dave, we were talking yesterday and he came up with an article from the Philadelphia Inquirer talking about FBI warns telecom firms to boost security following wide-ranging Chinese hacking of Americans' text messages and phone calls. And that sounds pretty intense. So we thought, why not give you a call and see if you could kind of navigate that and help us to know what we need to be doing and if we are in risk of anything. So welcome.
No, much appreciated. You know, it's interesting times. The world of geopolitics, with all the social, political, economic tensions around the world, mm-hmm. really boils down to affecting a lot of private citizens. So all the way down to cell phone security. So happy to share some pragmatic tips for all the listeners out there.
Yeah, please do. I mean, where do we start?
I think I know where to start. We need to get flip phones. Am I right?
not exactly, because, I mean, based upon the reports from the FBI, I mean, the actual networks of some of America's largest telecom providers have been compromised. So it's not necessarily the what's called the endpoint or the device that you have in your hand. It's the actual data that the networks manage. You know, mm-hmm. So think of AT&T, Verizon, Lumen Technologies, et cetera. They've all been on the list. And the Chinese threat actors, actually from the Chinese, of course the Chinese have disavowed any wrongdoing, but there's different syndicate groups or hacker groups that they make it their mission to oftentimes be employed by a nation state to go do different operations or campaigns around the world. Wow. But so the flip phones wouldn't get us there quite quick. But
sorry, Josh. You know,
I do miss them.
I know. I do too.
Wow. I did not know that. So that's interesting. You said there's actually like maybe one degree of separation between a nation and the perpetrators, but there is still potentially a paper trail that goes to their execution, and it's, you know, instigated by a governmental party potentially.
Oh, yeah. You know, even, I mean, I got to admit that, you know, being in the space, even, you know, our country, sometimes we engage in operations that are part of a national entity. Sometimes they're more clandestine or covert operations that are done by private groups. Sometimes they're informally, you know, authorized, and sometimes they're not. In this case, there is actually a group called Salt Typhoon, and all these different hacker groups. It almost sounds like it's from a movie.
Yeah, sounds like it. Yes,
Salt Typhoon. That sounds like the, I don't even know, the world's scariest supervillain or something.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right, and so they're the ones that have been associated with this telecom hack, one of the largest in U.S. history.
Wow.
But at the end of the day, this boils down to, you know, how does it affect you, our listeners?
Yes.
If you're using an iPhone device to another iPhone device and you do text messaging, or Android to Android, those are the two largest predominant, you know, players on the handset area. You have applications that send text messages on the iPhone. It's called iMessage.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, those messages, once they are constructed and sent from the iPhone, they're encrypted. So reportedly, the FBI says those should be fine. Although, in my personal opinion, you know, being in the space now for, you know, over two decades, a suggestion to all the listeners out there is to download, whether it be on the Android Play Store, Google Play Store, or the Apple Store, the application called Signal.
Okay.
Signal. And Signal is a third-party application that's known to send out secure messages, you know, text messages to and point-to-point and support point-to-point encryption. Now, the common question is, like, okay, listen, I have nothing to hide, which is a very common, you know, I guess, response to everyone of any age, any demographic, to say, I don't have anything to hide, so I don't really need to worry about this. But the reality is today, governments and businesses are looking to what's called mine or harvest consumer data.
Yes.
And they may use your information, your device ID, your phone number, even your voice. They're wanting to capture, you know, what is
with AI?
The question. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. So they can perpetrate it later on for a given campaign.
Mm. Wow. And I had no clue. So I'm assuming they're probably, you talked about that some people might not be as at risk, but I'm assuming they have high profile targets, that, you know, certain politicians, celebrities, things like that, that they would want to more notably, you know, mine that kind of information. Is there a correlation between them going after specific people, or is this a really wide net?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, you know, that obviously with hundreds of millions of Americans, their focus has been more targeted to the Trump campaign, especially as he, you know, before he formally takes office, has talked about sanctions, right? Mm-hmm. We've heard that in the news a lot. And this goes back to what I mentioned at the beginning of geopolitical issues. Geopolitics will affect cybercrime, cyber warfare, and a lot of the political, economic, at least rhetoric that's been said, or, you know, especially around sanctions, has put, you know, the Chinese on the offensive. Some of it economic with their own sanctions, or they just announced the other day that certain types of raw materials will not be exported to the United States. But another one is more covert operations by this Salt Typhoon entities syndicate, where they're looking to get, you know, the phone information, conversations, details for some of the administration's elect new cabinet members. So, yes, definitely. I think, you know, suffice to say that J.D. Vance's phone conversations are a little bit more important than all of our, you know, conversations. But, you know, that doesn't take away the aspect that if they have access to the data, you know, and you have, you know, actually, true story. So 3 days ago, which is around the time this all was happening, I got a call from Google Corporate. And I actually have one of my children works out there at Google Corporate, and it wasn't him. It was it was, you know, audibly a foreign national.
Mm.
And, you know, I it's interesting because, as you both know, I have certain privacy settings, which actually is a good segue into what do we need to do to secure our own devices,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yeah.
So, but when I get a call and it's not in my contact list, you can do this on both Android, but I know this definitely on the iPhone. There's a mode called privacy mode. If you go into settings and you go into phone, it basically says, if I don't recognize a number, whether it be through text or through the phone, just send it to voicemail. And this goes back to the mining threat. If I, as a hacker, want to call you and get your voice likeness, I want to talk to you for, all I need is 15 seconds.
Because
I can just capture your audio, and then I can use software to emulate it. So just two takeaway recommendations. Download the Signal app. Check out your respective phone. And, you know, just if you have an Android phone, just say, you know, privacy settings for Android or security settings for Android, same thing for iPhone. You're going to find that Google and Apple both have there's actually a lockdown mode on the iPhone. If you really want to go, like, full, like, Jason Bourne and to lock down your phone, you can actually put your phone in what's called lockdown mode. And it really just puts the phone in a high security state. This is maybe if your phone, maybe you have a lot of sensitive transactions you do with the phone, with financial, maybe you have a cryptocurrency wallet and things like that, then definitely you want to take extra precautions.
Well, thank you so much for, yeah, safeguarding us and our listeners. Where can people find out more about your services to, yeah, protect with cybersecurity and all the incredible things you offer for businesses and individuals?
Yeah, just the website, versprite.com. That's V-E-R and Sprite like the drink, versprite.com. It has a lot of what we do in the realm of cybersecurity, and we actually have a pretty interesting blog that touches upon a lot of different ways in which companies that manufacture products and have services are actually on the crosshairs, unfortunately, to a lot of these hacking campaigns that are oftentimes sanctioned by nation states.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for the incredible reminder. And we should all remember, if you want to avoid those hacks, send a fax.
Thank you so much, Tony.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Coming up at 1 this afternoon on AM 1160, The Quest. Join me for The Doctor Is In. But now, it's back to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:21. We are here with no priest today, no Kathy today. We are stranded. We are lone rangers going to unpack today's gospel for you.
And it's
going to
be today's gospel.
Today's gospel, yes. Just to pivot, we are doing today's gospel instead of Sunday's gospel. But with God's grace and your prayers, we'll figure something out.
Let's dive in, Josh.
All right. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I'm
going to
just lift up a prayer before we start. Our Father,
who
art in heaven,
hallowed
be
thy
name.
Thy
kingdom
come,
thy
will
be done
on
earth
as it
is
in
heaven.
Give
us
this day
our
daily
bread,
and forgive
us our
trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
And Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners.
Now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
And hey, when you are taking off the training wheels for the first time, you need all the prayers you can get, okay?
Josh, you were in seminary. We are not worried.
Well, we'll see what happens. This is from the Gospel of Matthew 9:27-31, today's gospel. As Jesus passed by, two blind men followed him, crying out, "Son of David, have pity on us." When he entered the house, the blind men approached him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I can do this?" "Yes, Lord," they said to him. Then he touched their eyes and said, "Let it be done for you according to your faith." Mm-hmm. And their eyes were opened. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that nobody knows about this." But they went out and spread word of him through all that land. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
What a powerful, powerful message. These blind men recognize Christ is the Messiah by calling him Son of David. This is a messianic title rooted in prophecy from Isaiah 11. And their plead shows this humility and dependence on his divine mercy. It's interesting to think because Jesus goes to work right away, right? And I like to think of this quote that I've heard. Jesus answers every prayer in three different ways. Yes, wait, or I have something better.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, and at the time, and maybe even the entirety of our earthly life, most people would look at the answer we get to prayer and say, that doesn't look like something better. But keep in mind, Allison, just like you beautifully articulated earlier in the show, we are only looking at the back end of the tapestry.
Correct, yeah.
Which can look very messy.
But absolutely.
When we are on the other end of that eternal tapestry, we will see how beautiful and interconnected and intentional all the Lord's strokes were.
And you know what I love when we look at the gospel reflection today? When Jesus says, do you believe that I can do this? You know, do you believe that I can, you know, heal you? And I ask myself, right? Do I have that type of faith where if Jesus... He's here next to us in the tabernacle, right? Do I have that faith that whatever, if I have any illness or any, you know, doubts and fears, do I believe that he can take care of that?
Yeah.
We have to ask ourselves that daily. I mean, every moment to moment, because how many things are thrown at us, you know, throughout the day?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting because we might cherry pick certain things, right? So in my life, there are some big ticket issues or problems that Jesus has miraculously healed, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, a couple that I think really the last drink I had was about 16 years ago. And full disclosure, I was actually too intoxicated to tell the cab driver where I lived. So he took me to the address on my license, which was my mother's house.
Praise
and
God.
So I tried to go into that front door at about, I don't know, 3 o'clock in the morning. And guess who was there? Like a mother bear guarding the den, my mom.
Yes.
And I come to, and her and my stepfather are staring at me saying, should we take him to the hospital? Because again, I pretty much needed subtitles when I was speaking, right? The next day, my mother took away my car keys and started dropping me off at 12-step meetings.
Yes.
And I got a sponsor, and I never had to have another drink or drug again.
Praise God.
But think about that. God does for us what we can't do for ourselves.
Yes.
What if that cab driver had taken me back to my place, right? What if that interception hadn't happened through my mom's grace, which I think was reflective of God's unconditional mercy and compassion.
Yes.
You know, Allison, a mother's love.
Oh, I see
how wonderful you are with your kids. It's next level.
It is. You will do anything for your kids.
Yeah. And so we see that. But how many times in our life do things not go, quote, according to plan? And we look back and we go, thank you, Jesus. If I'd gotten my way, I would have been selling myself way short.
Amen. I know it's true. It's really true. So I think the takeaway for this gospel is really asking ourselves, how much are we truly trusting in God's plan for us? Even if we don't feel like we're on the right page, are we trusting that he knows what's best for us and that he ultimately wants the best for us?
Yes. And think about the question Jesus asks. Do you believe that I can do this? Right? So this is a pretty explicit declaration of faith Jesus is asking for, right? Miracles aren't just showcasing his power, but really they're showcasing, you know, and they really require a belief and trust in his divine authority. Now, in some cases, like when I was heading back to my place and I didn't have a relationship with Christ at the time, he sees the bigger picture, and I think his common grace can intercede and intercept
us,
you
know,
to point us on the right path.
Look where
absolutely.
You are. Yeah.
But he does say here, let it be done for you according to your faith. So Jesus is asking for faith, right? This is very pivotal in healings, but I think the key is, regardless if we get exactly what we want or we don't get what we want, do we still have that faith? You know, I mean, he came to the tomb of Mary and of Lazarus, and or the house of Lazarus. And she said, if you were here, Lord, my brother would have been healed. But essentially she says, but I know, mm-hmm. right, that you can do all things.
Amen.
Right. So even when it's not going according to plan. And the other thing I might just say, too, how pivotal. They didn't just keep God's miracles to themselves, but they shared them.
That's how people have conversion stories. I mean, yeah. That's how his love and his truth is shared. When he works through us, with the joy that we have from that, we share with others.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's a domino effect.
And keep in mind, people can argue apologetics. Mm-hmm. People can argue, you know, the biblical history of certain things if they want to try to get into, you know, the meticulous details. But you know what people can't argue with? Your testimony.
Amen.
They can't argue with how Christ has healed you and transformed your life. So keep in mind, that is, I think, one of the most powerful feet to lead with, or powerful tools to lead with, when you are sharing your faith, your story, your testimony, your healing. Because how can somebody argue with that? You know, the Pharisees were questioning the man whose sight Christ restored. You know, they're saying, who is Christ? He says, I don't know who you're talking about. I can just say I was blind and now I see.
Amen. Allison DeBull from the Catholic News Agency. Latest data from the CDC shows that slightly decline in abortions following the reversal of Roe v. Wade. Abortions decreased by 2% from 2021 to 2022. The Roe versus Wade was overturned. There were a recorded 622,000 abortions in 2021 from 46 reporting states and Washington, D.C., dropping to 609,000 in 2022. According to the CDC report. Also, the report shows that the abortion rate, the number of abortions per 1,000 women in a population, declined by 3%. The abortion ratio, the relative number of pregnancies that end in abortion compared with live birth, also declined slightly by 2%. Among other data, the CDC found out that more than 70% of abortions were chemical. Women in their 20s account for more than half of abortions in 2022, and nearly 90% of women who had abortions were unmarried. And starting today until Sunday, December 15th, two relics of St. Anthony of Padua will be available for veneration here in Atlanta. Two Franciscan friars directly from Padua, Italy, are bringing the relics, two fragments of St. Anthony's facial skin and his floating rib, which were obtained in the 1981 opening. The relic of the floating rib has special significance for the friars of Padua because it was venerated by Lucia Fatima in her convent in Coimbra, Portugal, in 1995, and then Archbishop Jorge Maria Bergoglio, Pope Francis, in the Cathedral of Buenos Aires in the year 2000. Today, the relics are at St. Philip Benizi Church in Jonesboro, tomorrow at the Cathedral of Christ the King, and Sunday at Our Lady of Vietnam Catholic Church in Riverdale. Next week, the relics can be revered at the Divine Mercy Church in Brookhaven, at Holy Spirit in Atlanta, St. Jude the Apostle in Sandy Springs, St. Joseph's Church in Marietta, Holy Trinity in Petrie City, and then the Holy Vietnamese Martyrs in Norcross and at Holy Family in Atlanta on December 15th. For more information, check the Georgia Bulletin. And on Monday, we actually are going to be having an interview with one of those priests, Father Mario. So listen into the show and you'll hear that then.
Hi, this is Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Coming up at 4 this afternoon on AM 1160 The Quest, I invite you to join me for Beacon of Truth. Now let's return to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:44.
We are happy to have Chuck Persner back with us. He is going to inspire us with another saint of the day. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. And good morning, Josh.
Great morning to you, Mr. Chuck.
All right. You better behave yourself today. Otherwise, you may wind up with coal in your stocking.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Because today we are going to talk about the saint from whom the legend of Santa Claus or Sinterklaas mm-hmm. begins. And that's the legendary Saint Nicholas, who was born in the year 270. It's his feast day today. He was a 4th century bishop from Myra, who was renowned for his generosity and secretive gift giving. And he usually did so to those who were in most dire need of assistance. And he had a special place in his heart for impoverished children. And in fact, the traditional red robes he wore as bishop were in fact the inspiration for the fur-trimmed red suit and black boots that the Santa Claus that we know today is famous for.
Oh. Wow, that's interesting. Now, he was a monk.
right? So Santa started off as a monk.
That's right.
Interesting. He's famous for secretly providing dowries for three impoverished sisters to save them from being sold into slavery or prostitution.
Mm. That is probably the most famous story associated with him. There are many, actually, great stories associated with him. Details, on the other hand, relative to his life are somewhat sparse. He lives on primarily in legend. But we can say, with a fairly good degree of certainty, however, that he was one of the 300 bishops who signed off on the Creed of Nicaea, which was drawn up at the council that bore the same name. And we, of course, recite the Nicene Creed every Sunday at Mass.
Yes.
When we do our rosaries.
Wow.
So he's had a hand in that. And, you know, to your point, Josh, the story of the dowries, you know, anonymous, very generous gifts. That's what he was known for.
Well, and this quote says it all. The giver of every good and perfect gift has called upon us to mimic his giving by grace through faith. And this is not of ourselves.
That's a great quote.
It is. It's beautiful.
It truly emulates his life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's another great story. To your point, Josh, going back to that story with the three daughters, and legend had it that when St. Nicholas tossed one of the purses, it landed in a stocking that was hung by a fireplace to dry. And out of this tale, the traditional practice of hanging stockings or leaving out shoes for St. Nicholas to fill with gifts on his feast day of December 6th, that's where that has come from.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, this guy's narrative reads like it was written by the creator of the movie Taken or something. I mean, look at this. He brought a group of kidnapped children back to their families, leading to his patronage of children.
Yes.
Wow.
He rescued three people unjustly condemned from execution by intervening with local officials.
That's right.
This guy's a Navy SEAL or something, man. Well, I've never seen anything like it.
You know, he certainly, as many of our listeners know, he had an edgy and an ornery side to him as well, aside from being the giver of gifts.
Tell him about it. He is Golden Glove St. Nick, right?
We could probably call this segment a generous bishop with a good left hook.
Yeah.
Because he famously slugged Arius at the Council of Nicaea after Arius committed the unfortunate miscue of brashly denying Jesus' divinity. Again, a recurring theme with a lot of these saints. We talked about St. Ambrose yesterday, even though his feast day is on Saturday. He fought the Arian heresy as well. But in fact, I will do something I rarely do here on this program. I will read you all a quick little poem on this. And
wonderful.
I love this. It's a jolly old St. Nicholas punched Arius in the face to defend Christ's divinity as guided by God's grace. Before you spread a heresy, not caring about his list, consider old St. Nicholas may deliver you his fist.
Wow.
Yeah, some man's a whimsical kind of quote, but it does speak to his passion for, again, the defense of the divinity of Jesus, which is at the heart of our beliefs.
But he didn't get off totally scot-free with that punch. I mean, he was stripped of his role as a bishop for a little while after he clocked the guy. Yeah, I'm sure some people were cheering him on, but he lost, I think, his status temporarily as a bishop as a result of that and then got reinstated.
Yeah, you kind of get the feeling he didn't care.
Yeah.
You know, he was going to defend the divinity. I don't think titles and worldly trappings really interested him at all. I mean, he gave everything he had away and was always quick to be generous.
I just want to know who was like the stenographer that was capturing all that and the drama of the bishop's dialogue?
It's a great legend that gets passed down. You know, you think, here's good old Santa Claus bringing the heat.
St. Nicholas. So he is the patron saint of sailors, merchants, archers, repentant thieves, children, brewers, pawnbrokers, toy makers, and unmarried people.
All right. There you go. Quite a few patronages there. Another patron saint of brewers. We have a few of those.
Okay. So we know about that whole heresy thing, which is he got reinstated, but then he was imprisoned during Emperor Diocletian's persecutions of Christians, but was still steadfast. And after Constantine's rise to power, he continued to serve the church with great zeal. So he was released after Emperor Constantine's rise, which obviously makes sense.
Yeah.
Right. All those seeds finally shifted the tide of Rome to a Christian society.
Yeah.
Amen.
Interesting times in the church, for sure.
So he passed away, guys, December 6, 343 AD, which became his feast day, widely celebrated Eastern and Western churches. What's he the patron saint of? What? Children, sailors,
pawnbrokers, brewers.
Pawnbrokers.
Absolutely. Allison hit down on that earlier.
Wow.
Yeah, pawnbrokers.
Super And his relics were moved to Bari, Italy at 1087, which is now a pilgrimage site. Or which is becoming a pilgrimage site.
Okay, I've got another quote here.
Oh, good. All right.
Listen to us as we pray and seek your protection. Intercede in our favor to the Most High and obtain through your mighty prayers all that is useful for the salvation of our souls and bodies.
Yes, great quote attributed to St. Nicholas. Really a prayer, if you think about it. And it's one we could add to our Advent rotation. Beautiful prayer. There's so many great Advent prayers. You know, I know a lot of our listeners are doing the Novena to St. Andrew, which started on his feast day on November 30th. You've got this one. So it's, again, it just underscores. I love these early Advent saints that we celebrate in the first 2 weeks. They really do help to bring home the Advent message.
And, absolutely.
You know, we're still in that quiet period. The whole crush of all the secularism hasn't kicked in yet. So these are really good times to focus on, you know, the virtues of Advent. Mm-hmm. Hope and faith, repentance.
Yes.
And with saints like this, we've got great examples to help us.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Chuck. You did it again, buddy.
Thank you very much, Josh, and jolly old St. Nicholas.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Good morning. We're so happy to be back here. And I've got a question for you all. With Advent coming up, people are thinking about buying gifts for people, right? But maybe we can talk about something else. Maybe there are some other ways that we can go about this. And we have Kathy McCormick here with us as well. We're going to be talking about what we can do for Christmas for family and friends. Or do we spend money on things, or should we spend them on experiences?
Well, I got to say, the one thing that my family decided to do is not exchange gifts. Of course, the grandkids are getting something. Yeah, we're not exchanging gifts. We're not stuffing stockings. We're not doing anything like that. The grandkids are still going to get something. But what we're going to do is on Christmas Eve, we're going to go to Mass. Mm-hmm. We start out with Mass. We come home. We're having dinner. And then we're playing a bunch of just family games.
Oh,
little
nice.
Relays, little just fun things. And we're all kind of putting some money into a pot and getting some gift cards and stuff so that the winners of the games, we've got team games and individual games. I've got probably about 16, 17 people in my family.
Wow.
So we come together and we just have, it's chaos and it's just a blast. And then the other thing we're going to do in January is we're probably going to do one of those, you know, where you go and paint, like you learn how to paint.
Yes.
We're going to take over. Yeah. We're going to take over one of those places, the whole family. And we're going to try our hand at learning how to paint and just have a good time together and not worry about, you know, the rush of spending expensive gifts. We you get to the point where you just say, do I really need anything else? I mean, I've got God, I've got family. Let's celebrate that.
Well, and you don't know how long the family will be here. I mean, at any moment, you know, we could be gone. So spending time is essential. And as you're talking about bonding with family, at Thanksgiving, we went over to one of my sister's houses and she brought out the board games. And my kids were having a blast just playing games.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's amazing what just board games can do and just playing together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think, too, the importance of what you're saying really spotlights the intentionality of being with your family and savoring every second. I mean, last year I had no clue of knowing that was going to be the last Christmas with my own father, right? And it just makes all the ones leading up to it so much more significant. And so really leaning into the relationships versus the gift exchange, nothing wrong with giving a gift, but what's going to help me be most present and, you know, most grateful for the people around me? And Jesus says, right, don't store up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven.
Yeah, the other thing that the McCormicks are very famous for is inviting anyone who doesn't have anyone to come to our house, either Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Yeah.
We've always had a little stray person here or there who just needed to have a place to have a meal. And, you know, we've invited them to church and all that kind of good stuff. So
I love that. Well, yeah. I'm going to kind of have a little experience this weekend. My sister-in-law brings the kids and I to Lake Oconee each year, and that's been a beautiful gift from her. And we go and we just are outside enjoying the marshmallows, enjoying the lake, enjoying the game, you know, just being out in nature in just a beautiful place. So I'm looking forward to that. So again, thank God for experiences.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. Back to the Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
It is 8:48.
Kathleen Lindemann, Director of Adult Evangelization at St. Michael the Archangel Parish in Woodstock, Georgia. Welcome back, Kathleen.
Thank you. It's good to be back. Good morning.
I have loved the conversations that we have had the last couple of weeks talking about Advent.
I'm sure right now we're starting to feel the stress. It's the countdown. Let's not go there.
No.
So I think we need to practice what I call, we have to get our GPS out. And my GPS that I want people to think about is God provides the Spirit.
Oh, I love that.
And so let's pray and go, let's not let this get ahead of us, because the Spirit isn't wild, it's not crazy, and it's not stressful. So if you find yourself stressful at this moment in time, that means we need to make more time for prayer. We need to ask God to settle us down, help us with our priorities, because God draws straight with crooked lines.
Amen. That's scriptural. To that. Amen.
And so we need to say, Lord, help me to prioritize and give me back the time that I need. Help me to prioritize the things that I need to do, and help me because I have a heart that wants to be holy. I want this to be a holy time of the year. So let's get our GPS systems out. God provides the Spirit. And so one of the things that we can do this year, that I'm going to do this year, is I find myself for empty nesters. So I've got the beautiful tree in the dining room that has all of my decorations that I don't want anybody to touch, not even my husband. But then I have a tree in the family room that has all the family over the years, the kids made little ornaments, and they have, well, this year I'm going to do something different, because sometimes they come in and they don't even look at the tree. And my older kids that are already grown up and have families of their own. But in reality, their children are now kind of, Dad made that ornament? You know, they're kind of interested.
Yes.
And so what I'm going to do this year, and hey, it's new. I don't have all the answers. I'm learning, and I kind of thought about this during my prayer time. How can I get my family more engaged? And I'm never going to stop being a mom. I'm hoping to be a good mim, because they call me mim, hoping to be a good mim. But I want to engage my older kids. So it's not just about their little kids, but I want to engage them because I'm still their mom. So I'm going to take all of their beautiful little ornaments that they have made over the years that they have probably forgot about. I have an ornament of my younger son. It's a black and white picture that the teacher took at school, and he made a frame and put mints, those little red and white mints.
Yes, yes.
That's what reminded me. You've got a bowl of mints here. and they pasted it all around, and that has never deteriorated in a hot Atlanta garage.
Yes.
It's like amazing. This thing is amazing. But it's the cutest picture of him, too. So I'm going to make separate boxes for each of my boys. They're going to be special little boxes. You can find beautiful little boxes. They're going to fit in there. And when they come over for Christmas, I'm going to say, can you decorate the tree with what you made for me 30 years ago?
Oh, boy. A trip down memory lane.
Yeah, you know? And let's enjoy those ornaments like I did the very first time they gave them to me. Their little hearts looking up. Is she going to like it? Is mama going to like it? You know? And let them go, oh, I remember this ornament. And maybe there's a story they have that's going to come back for them. That's creating holy moments, because they're beautiful moments. And let them put it on the tree. So you got to be brave, and you got to be strong enough to not let that tree be perfect when everybody walks in, because now we're going to decorate the tree. And then stand around the tree. Let's hold hands and let's say a prayer. Dedicating this beautiful tree to the Lord. You know, when my family comes over on family gatherings, like just on a regular Sunday, we always all hold hands before they leave. And we say a prayer for the week.
Oh, wow.
And I got a little 27-month-old who just gets right in there and he wants to hold hands, you know. Aww. And we all hold hands and we ask someone to pray, you know. Hey, Alex, can you lead us in prayer? Or, hey, Mandy, can you lead us in prayer? And they lead like the most beautiful prayer spontaneously. And then we all hug and kiss and everybody goes home. And in a sense, you feel sad that they're going home, but you know they're going home with a prayer.
Yes.
And they're protected and they're loved. And I remember tucking my kids in at night and telling them I love them. But before I close the door or turn off the light, I tell them that I really like them. Because it's easy to say I love you.
Yes.
But I really like you.
Oh.
I like who you are. I like what you did today. I'm so proud of you. God loves you. God loves you, Ross. God loves you, Alex. And let them go to sleep on that note.
Yes, hearing that from
that,
mom.
You know, or grandma.
Or grandma.
You know, just we have so many opportunities for holy moments.
And what is so applicable about what you're saying is we can all do it, because you're talking about something as simple as a kind word, is an I love you, is a thank you, I'm grateful for you. That doesn't cost any money.
No.
Right. Right.
But it does have eternal value.
Good point. And it doesn't cost anything, but it takes effort. And it takes, Lord, you know, inspire me to see the moments that will provide the GPS moments.
Yes.
God providing the Spirit. We can say yes or we can say no. But we need to pray for that Spirit's prompting, because the Spirit hovers around everyone, right? And it prompts us to do certain things, the Spirit does. And as we open ourselves up to that, the Spirit goes, oh, this girl is listening to me. I'm visiting her more often.
Yes.
And when we have opportunities where we just don't feel like saying yes, the Spirit moves on to another soul who's open to that prompting.
Yeah.
But if you're consciously, like today, if you're driving, listening to this, say, Lord, show me a holy moment today that I can be part of a holy moment. Hold on to that steering wheel, because he's going to show you that moment.
Yeah.
And when you, and it's not about feeling good, but it's realizing at that moment that God has used you to surface him to another human being. If we all did that, what a world.
Yeah.
I guess that's heaven, and I'm looking forward to that. But we can try to bring heaven to earth every day through those holy moments.
Well, and I know many people out there are praying, give me a sign, Lord. If you're really out there, let me know, because I don't feel you.
Yeah.
So if we are open to the Holy Spirit, oh my gosh, how many hearts can actually feel the Lord's presence by us, you know, listening to the GPS, listening to the Holy Spirit, guiding us what to do and how to encounter other people.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
That's the gift, man. We can be a blessing today. And just a reminder that God's eternal currency through encouragement and through prayer is far more valuable than anything we can give on earth. We can store up those treasures in heaven. And that's exactly what you're teaching us how to do this Advent season. We are forever grateful to you, Kathleen Lindemann, head of adult evangelization from St. Michael the Archangel Catholic Church in Woodstock, Georgia. And we look forward to the next conversation.
Praise God.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
I just love talking to Kathleen Lindemann. I just love it, love it. And love that topic she was talking about with us today regarding ornaments and the ornaments your children have made. You know, I'm a mom of three, and we get a live tree each year. We got a Fraser fir, and the majority, 90, 95% of the tree has all the ornaments that my kids have made over the past years.
Oh, nice.
And it's so beautiful. But I laugh because the kids are like, oh, can we not have normal ornaments on there? And I was like, you know what? Maybe we can get some smaller trees for your rooms. But this tree, I want to have those beautiful ornaments that you all made. But I do have an Eiffel Tower that brings back memories of my trip to France years ago.
That's cool. I enjoy seeing the ornaments that we made as kids, you know, and this finger painting, and it's, you know, you can barely read the words, and I realize, wait, I made that 2 years ago, actually.
Josh.
From my college art project. No, it is cool to kind of have a tree be a time capsule.
Yes.
In spotlight, how far God has taken y'all as a family, and that's cool. Yeah, and parents, that's particularly meaningful for. So, yeah, Kathleen Lindemann, and how about
that voice. I mean, is that not the most soothing? Not only does she have the great content, but she has the best delivery ever.
Yes.
She should just be reading sleep stories on those calm apps or something, because it just locks you right into the spirit.
And she is, yeah, spirit-driven, which is such a gift. A gift she has, and praise God, she uses it and says yes to the Lord all the time.
Not only is the content there, but so is the delivery, and that is a gift.
Amen. Well, there are some great shows coming up after ours today. 10 o'clock a.m., More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. Again, I always say this daily, what great content they have. Topic is made in God's image. Are you struggling to love yourself as God loves you? Wondering what it even means. And how many of us, I even battle it sometimes, right? Thinking, oh my gosh, I could be better at this, or oh, I should be better. So we all struggle with that.